Can we give it up for my bro, Josh? I love your heart too, man. I do. I don't know about y'all, but it takes an anointing and a calling to deal with youth ministry. Hello. I've got two young kids at my house, and I'm like, Lord, can we send them back where they came from? Don't act spiritual. You know, if you got kids, you've had that moment like, where's the Benadryl? I'm by myself. That's all right. My brother Pat Figueroa told me last night, what are you ready to get the Benadryl? Only reason I'm not using it because my wife won't let me use it. And I don't want to go to jail. I want to honor two special people in this house. I want to honor Pastor Ron and Pastor Charles. Thank you guys so much for allowing me to be in this house. Come on, can you honor the angels of this house? You can stand on your feet. I believe in honoring. Come on, stand on your feet and let's honor the pastors, the shepherds of this house. We salute you, sir. We thank you for everything you're doing for this city. Everything that God does it through people. Tell somebody that. Everything God's doing, everything God wants to do, he has to do it through you. Grab a neighbor's hand. Grab somebody's hands to your left, to your right. See, that neighbor's hand you're holding is a miracle. Come on. If you don't mind, stand on your feet. I know you've been standing. You stand on your feet longer than that for the football games. Some of you are in mourning because Florida lost. It's okay. I'm from South Carolina. South Carolina won it. You know, it's all right. No, wait. Did they win it? Clemson, yeah, Clemson won it, right? Yeah, they won. I got one person who's like, yeah, they won. Listen, the person's hand you're holding is a miracle. The person's hand you're holding, it's a sign and a wonder that they're here. Don't let anybody's hand that you're holding fool you into believing that they've got it together. Come on, somebody. So for the next 30 seconds, I want you to pray for that person's hand, and I want you to intercede for them. Thank God that they made it to the house of God. And then the whole time over the next 25, 30 minutes, connect your faith to their faith and moving them from one faith to another faith. And together, by the time we leave this room, we'll all together be where God wants us in our faith. Tell somebody that we're going to the next level. Come on, for the next 30 seconds, pray for them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, that you have brought us to this house. There is an expectation in the room that moves our faith. It is an expectation in this room that precedes our fear, that precedes our worry. We thank you that everything that is orchestrated for today has been designed by God. Come on, pray for them like you mean it. That somebody almost got into an accident on the way here, but they're here because of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we're here because of your presence. We're here because of the blood of Jesus. We're here because you want us to be here. We're here because you have something for us. And if you believe it, take those same hands and begin to clap them unto the Lord like you love them. Come on. Come on. Come on. Who am I talking to? See, you don't get nothing from God unless you show up expecting something from the only one who could bring it. Woo! I have no intentions of containing myself. I'll explain to you why I know God is very much alive. I'll tell you that in just a few. Why I have no desire to show up in church and play church. I don't know about you, but I have no desire to show up to church to play church. Somebody walked in here with suicidal thoughts. I just believe God's going to eradicate those thoughts. Somebody needs an internal healing in their body. I believe God's going to touch that body. This is why we don't play games in the house of God. There are college students who are stressing out because they may lose a scholarship. There are people all around the world suffering with their issues in real life. And I don't know about you, but I know I got one person. I got Patrick Figueroa who will join my family. I just want to know if there's anybody in the house that will just take the next 25, 30 minutes and be serious. just say, God, for the next 35 minutes, 25 minutes, I want to partner my faith with the expectation in this room to see you do something we've never seen before. You can have your seats. I want to honor my beautiful wife. My wife is not here. Sometimes she travels, sometimes she doesn't, but I want to honor my beautiful wife in her absence. I want to thank you, babe, for letting me come and releasing me to do what it is we're called to do, and that's share the gospel of Jesus. I love you. We've got two little monkeys running around our house. My daughter, her name's Noah Sparrow, and she dances and she sings. I've got a son. His name's Judah Spear, and my God, he's the one that needs the Benadryl. Turn in your Bibles to Mark 4. I'll be there in just a second. Mark 4, we'll start at verse 35. I'm going to tell you a quick story. There was these three pastors. And they were on the boat. They were fishing. And while they were on the boat, they hadn't caught anything all morning. And so one of the pastors was like, man, I really got to go to the bathroom. So he just jumped off the boat, began to walk back to the shore, went to the bathroom, came back to the boat the very same way he walked. Right? Another pastor got off about 25 minutes later. He's like, dude, I got to use the bathroom. I'll be right back. Jumped off the boat, rowed to the shore, walked on the water, came back on the boat the same way. And the other pastor was looking at these guys like, dang, they got faith. So he's like, I'm going to try it too. He jumps off the boat and he begins to sink immediately. And the other two pastors looked at each other and was like, I guess we should have told him where the rocks were that we walked on to get back to the shore. I say all that to say that sometimes we can deceive people into believing we have more faith than we really do, right? Because when life happens, life tends to shift our faith if we're not careful who the foundation of our lives is in. If our lives is in Jesus, if our foundation is in Jesus, then that foundation should never move. Tell somebody, say, today, lock in your faith. Tell somebody else, say, today, lock in your faith. Let's start there, verse 35. You know the story very well. We're talking about Jesus. He's on the boat with these guys in the middle of a storm. It says, that day when evening came, he said to the disciples, let us go to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also boats with him. A furious squall or storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Verse 38, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. So tell somebody, say, you need to go to sleep. The disciples woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown? Verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith? Look at your neighbor and say, do you still not have faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey. See, I love this story because, and see, you and I would get happy even in this moment of reading this story because the more I read about it, I'm learning something about this particular passage, and it is this. It is that Jesus is tired of speaking to our storms for us. So he looks at his disciples, and notice this. Jesus doesn't talk to the obvious first. The first thing he does is he rebukes the wind. Can you see the wind? No, but the wind causes the commotion. He rebukes the thing that they can't see, which then exposes the thing that he can see, which is the waves. Can I tell you this morning? There are some things in your life, you've been giving attention to the wrong thing. You've been giving attention to the waves, but it's the wind in your life that is causing the commotion. But I believe Jesus is opening up our eyes this morning, just like he opened the disciples' eyes, to allow them to see that it's not what you see that is causing the commotion. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against what? Principalities and wicked things and the spiritual darkness world. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but see, you've been fighting the obvious, but it's not the obvious. It's the thing that we cannot see that's creating your storm. Tell somebody, speak to the wind. Y'all too quiet on me. I'm going to go and tell you, if you're quiet on me, I'm going to preach for 5 hours. If you amen me, it'll be 25 minutes. Yeah. Come on, bring it. Turn it around. Take it home. Land it, black boy with the skinny jeans. That's a good place to land it. Lock it. See, I've learned in my walk with God that when storms come in my life, there's something that God's put in my voice. You and I have a voice. That voice carries a power. That's why anything that happens in my life, when a storm breaks out, I don't begin to speak to the obvious. I put my power over the storm. So I begin to open up my mouth and sing things like, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. And when I begin to sing, the atmosphere shifts, the sound that I'm carrying begins to move the storm out the way. I want to tell somebody, you've been speaking to the wrong thing. Your voice carries a power that can move any storm, any mountain, any issue out the way if you'll stop speaking to the obvious. You carry a power that can shake things, move things on your behalf. Who am I talking to? See, we were born sinners, which means this. Our human nature tends to start complaining when things happen in our life. I don't know about you. I know I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about the street up the road because all y'all are perfect. You know, I could ask, I'm like, you know, like, how, Morgan, how you doing? Oh, my God, just pray for me, Chris. Oh, my God, my life is failing. My skinny jeans don't fit anymore. I ate the donuts. It's horrible. My dog's sick. He's coughing. It's like over and over. You ever meet any of those people that are just horrible? They don't have not one good thing to say. And I'm like, ignore, mute. Because I don't know about you. I get tired of being around negative people. Because negative people breed negative things, right? Our human nature tends to force us to complain, but our supernatural nature says confront. Yeah, you could tweet that. Our human nature says complain. Our spiritual nature says confront. Jesus in the stern was asleep because he realized there was nothing that was threatening him as long as he knew who he was. When you know who you are, there is nothing that can break out in your life that could truly harm you. For I know the plans that I have for you. They're not to harm you. They're to give you hope and to give you a future. They're to give you, they're to prosper you. Listen, when you know your, listen, you have the complete plan of God for your life. So when a storm breaks out, all you got to do is remind yourself of Jeremiah 29:11. So when our faith has been distracted, we have forgotten God's plans. Oh, my God, God, help us. Oh, my God, no. Oh, my God, Lord, take it off. No, Jesus, take the wheel. No, he ain't taking the wheel. You're driving. Drive yourself out the storm. Use your faith. Activate what God's placed in you. Use your voice. Tell somebody you've got the power. Come on, tell somebody else you've got the power. Get your faith up. We can tend to complain instead of confronting, Cedric, if we're not careful. You know, when I have $5 in the bank, you know, I'm like, oh my God, what are we going to do? I need you, Jesus. When I got 5,000, I'm like, I am a friend of God. I am. You need $5? Yeah. He calls me. I'm tithing. I'm walking up to the tithe bucket like. When we got $5, we're like, I need you, Jesus. Can I borrow a quarter? I'm talking, right? I'm talking serious. See, straight up. See, some of y'all, y'all acting like y'all got it all together. But me and my wife, we know when we got to eat ramen noodles. Come on, somebody. Salmon. Yeah, I mean, well, not salmon. What's that stuff called? You know, it ain't salmon. It's sardines. I mean, not y'all. I'm talking about the other church up the road. Y'all good. Y'all eat caviar and shrimp all day, every day. I'm being facetious, but what I'm saying is that if we're not careful, we can live life complaining instead of confronting. Amen? Storms can tend to make you doubt the one that you believe in, as if it is him that has created the storm in your life. It's not God. See, my perspective changed of storms happening in my life. See, God doesn't create the storm, but God does use the storm. See, the storm isn't happening to you as much as the storm is happening for you. I'll say it, I'll come on this side because y'all didn't get it. The storm ain't happening to you, it's happening for you. He's using that storm to get you to the other side. Watch this. He tells the disciples, he says, let's go to the other side, right? He wasn't talking about just a specific town. When the Bible calls out a body of water, that body of water often represents uncertainty. So this is what he was saying. Guys, I've had enough with your faith. Let's get to the other side of your uncertainty. Right? I know. It'll take some time, but it's cool. Because all along his walk with the disciples, you know, he starts to say stuff like, how much longer do I have to be with you? He was frustrated with their mind. He was frustrated with their lack of faith. I don't know about y'all, but there's sometimes in my life when I'm strong and there's people that come around me and I'm like, yo, where your faith at? What you complaining about? You ever have those people? And your life is like, dang, like, this is the moment we got to pray. We got to break through. We got to call on heaven. What are you complaining about? If we're not careful, we'll take on those same mannerisms and start complaining instead of confronting. Let me move on. Let's go. Turn me to Luke 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 20. Y'all good? Luke 7, verse 20. I'll be there in just a second. See, it takes faith to believe in God, but it takes faith also to sustain your relationship with God. It takes faith. Tell somebody, it takes faith. Amen. Luke 7, this is talking about John. John is, you know, he's been with Jesus the whole time. He was called out to be the witness of the light of Jesus, that he was the Son of God. We're talking about the same John that was witnessing Jesus being baptized, coming out of the water, hearing the voice of the Father say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is the same John we're talking about, right? John has been thrown in prison. He's walking with God. He's been thrown in prison for his faith, for what he believes, for some stuff that went down with him and the boys. Verse 20, he says, when the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? This is John. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits. He gave them sight to the blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, and deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Notice that Jesus never answers their question whether or not he is the Messiah. He answers their question by provoking their faith. They ask the question, he began to perform. See, God cannot convince you whether or not you're going to believe and whether or not you're going to have faith that he is or is not. You got to believe just like they had to believe. John got to a place in his life. It would be one thing if it was like Peter, but we're talking about the man that was responsible for carrying out and preparing the way of Jesus, literally got to the place where his faith was jacked up. Can I see it in this house like that? Jacked up, messed up. See, John started with God with one level of faith, but John quickly realized that he could not sustain his walk with God with the same level of faith. You got your start with God. This is how you believed in Jesus. You know, you probably came up to an altar like this, and it's like, do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in Jesus. Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, rose again, that he loves you, and that he wants to be in relationship with you? And most of you said, right? Now you're in a storm and you're like, John, are you the one that is to come? Can somebody get Jesus? I got Sprint, so my signal ain't working. Can somebody get Jesus on the phone? If we're not careful, our faith that we started with God will be the faith that we think we can use to be sustained in the walk with God. But there's a reason he says, let's go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Tell somebody, you've got to move your faith to get out of the situation you're in. Yeah. See, when the pastor, I begin to pray about Puerto Rico, see, I tapped in right there in the seat. I begin to deploy angels in my seat right there because I said, the only way the supernatural is going to break out is if I have the faith to believe I can deploy an angel to go move on the hearts of people who have the money to do something about the situation. See, this is what happened in our world. See, Irma was about to come and destroy. You know, Harvey is about to come and just jack everything up, right? So something happened between Harvey and Irma. This is what I believe happened. I believe this is what happened. Everybody was like, I'm tired of giving money to all these relief funds. Pretty soon, we're going to be broke. That's just me. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about the church up the street. Y'all give. So I told my wife, I said, babe, like, I don't understand, you know, like we're the sons and the daughters. The Bible says that the earth moans and groans and it waits for the manifestations of the sons and daughters to be revealed, right? So I'm like, all right, well, what was Adam's job in the beginning? Adam was a manager of the earth, which means he spoke to things. He managed the earth. But Adam was just the first Adam. Jesus was the second Adam. Jesus spoke to the wind and the wind obeyed. But Jesus wasn't the last Adam. Jesus was just the second Adam, which means that you and I are the next Adams, which means we are managers of this earth. So I said, well, let me just try to be a son. I told my wife, let me just try to be a son of God. Let me just see if the faith that I have, if we connect this with other people. So I started seeing people, I don't know if you started seeing it, saw people on Facebook saying, I'm going to speak to the storm. I believe that the sons and daughters will rise up and we can speak to the storm. And something happened with Irma, if you notice. I don't know if you noticed, but it began to get weak, right? It began to dissolve. And what they claimed to be the biggest disaster ended up being a tropical storm. There is something in your life that people are waiting to destroy you. So what you were walking through should have been the biggest disaster of your life. But if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can call that thing. You can minimize that thing. You could dissolve that storm in your life. And it has to turn around and bow. Watch this. Under the authority that you're operating out of. See, I recently stopped saying in the name of Jesus. How many of you say that at the end of your prayers? All two of you. So the rest of you are like, Buddhist, Muhammad, like I would. I'm just joking. So what I started doing, the Holy Spirit told me, says, why do you say in the name of Jesus at the end of your prayers? What am I supposed to say? What do you mean say? That's what I learned. That's what I'm supposed to say. Chris, I said that he that be in Christ is a new creature. The old is past and the new has come. Why do you only look at that as your past sins? Why do you not look at that as who you are? I said, okay, break that down. Break it all the way down. He says, Chris, why do you treat in the name of Jesus, like it's the period of a sentence and not a place of authority. So if we got to the revelation of what we really are saying, we shouldn't be saying in the name of Jesus at the end of any prayer. In the name of Jesus is a seat. It's a place that you operate out of. It's as if you are being sent from. So here it is. So Jesus would do something, right? And he's, on this day, let it be fulfilled, let the law be fulfilled on, or your sins have been forgiven. And they would say something like this. Who are you that can forgive sins, or who sent you, is what they would say. They would say to the disciples, and the disciples would say something like this. We have come in the name of Jesus. you missed it. They didn't pray in the name of Jesus. They responded to anybody that asked them, who are you? They would tell them, I come in the name of Jesus. See, I've stopped praying that prayer at the end of my sentences because now I realize who I am. I come in the name of Jesus. Blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord, which means you have all authority that God has given you to move and shift things in your life. I'm just trying to teach you. This is a kingdom nugget right here. You have got to stop praying religious cliches and start being sons and daughters. In the name of Jesus. See, when she was praying that prayer, I connected my faith with you. I said, in the name of Jesus, let my faith connect with her faith. And right now, move upon the hearts of those who have the financial ability to do something about Puerto Rico. Angels, I deploy you for 15 seconds. Then you got to come back. Be by me. Go take what you need to take to Puerto Rico. Now. I didn't say in the name of Jesus because I come from, I'm operating out of that name. See, your faith increases when you realize who you are. John forgot who he was and what he had seen. In the middle of your storms, you can tend to forget who you are and all that God has done for you. Because storms, let's just be honest, when storms hit, they hit hard. Right? So I want to talk a little bit about our faith, and I'm going to wrap this thing up. I want to talk about three levels of faith that we have to be aware of and be careful. If we're not careful of these things and these levels of faiths in our life, we'll tend to stay in the same place. The first faith I want to talk about is staggering faith. Staggering faith. You see, it takes faith to believe in God. It takes faith to walk with God. It is by faith you'll live with God in eternity. It is good. I'm going to say it again because it was good. It takes faith to start with God. It takes faith to walk with God. It is by faith you'll live with God. Y'all got it the second time. That was good. It's true, Pastor Rod. You got to say it two or three times for them to get it. Yeah. It took a while for me to get it when I was writing it. See, staggering faith tends to do this. Staggering faith is a life of no breakthrough. When your faith declines, you find yourself as the person who depends on your own bank account, your own strength, your own this, your own that. That is staggering faith. It produces nothing more than just self. Complacent faith, can I be honest, is where most Christians camp out. Complacent faith is you operated in a little bit of faith when you were, you know, when you got your start. I'm on fire for God. Oh my God, let's go shake nations. Let's go shake Tallahassee. Let's do it for the glory of God. Let's take FAMU. Let's take Florida State. Let's do it all for Jesus. 6 months happen and you only have two people that visit your church and you're like, ah, God's good. Let's go get something to eat. Right? So our complacent faith tends to do this. We tend to repeat stories. Man, you remember them days? Remember the old days? Behold, I do something new. If you find yourself repeating stories of your past on what God has done, but are not repeating what God did last night, last week at Target, last night at Exxon gas station, 2 days ago at Starbucks, the breakthrough that happened 4 days ago at the nursery, then that means you might be in a place of complacent faith. But I don't believe that for the people in this room. I believe you've got thriving faith. You can clap your hands right there. That was a good moment. And some of you are like, Chris, I wish I did have thriving faith. To be honest, I'm clapping them in faith. I'm being jovial. But what I'm really saying is this, is that if you're a son and daughter of God, there is absolutely no way to sustain a life with God unless you have faith to faith kind of faith. Right? You've got to have thriving faith. Thriving faith looks something like this. You could care less what comes your way. It's like, come what may, I'll trust in the Lord. It doesn't matter what's happening, what's going on. It doesn't matter. My faith will not be shaken. I don't know who I'm talking to, but your faith has a position because it's in God and because you come in the name of Jesus, which is the foundation. It says that he's the rock. If he is the rock, then that means your faith does not have to move when all of the world is moving. Right? It does not have to move, which means this. We've got to elevate our faith. Tell somebody, I'm going to the next level of faith. Yeah, I've got to move out of where I am, and I got to get to the next place of where God wants me to be. You can't stay where you are. You can't pray for your child when you were 20 and pray for the nations when you were 25, but then get to when you're 60 and all you're praying for is to get ready to go to bed. Right? This is why I don't teach my daughter now laying me down to sleep. I pray and I say, Noah, talk to the Father. Talk to him. He's your friend. He loves you. Learn to communicate with him. Befriend the Holy Spirit. She looks at me like, I don't get it. I'm like, it's okay. It's all by faith. What's faith? We'll get there. But I'm trying to teach her to move into the supernatural things now at 3 years old so that by the time she's 30, she's raising the dead. Right? You see, that's what's happening. See, I recently went to India. I'm going to go to Cape Town, South Africa in 2 weeks. And what I realized over this past 3 years of my life is my faith has been elevated. First time I went to India 3 years ago, I saw someone's back be straightened out. I was like, oh, that's cool. That was great. The second year, somebody's eyes were opening. This third year, what I'm believing for is for someone to be raised from the dead. It's an expectation that has to be put on your life. When Jesus literally said, I have to go so that the power of the promised Holy Spirit comes over you. And he said, it's good for me to go because I need you to operate in the greater. Yeah. Right? So until we're operating in the greater, we're operating in complacent faith. But I don't believe that for you. I don't believe that for me. So I use my faith to stretch where I am. I've got a brother. I've got a twin right now. 2.5 weeks ago was in a head-on collision. When I saw him, I almost vomited. I couldn't stomach what I saw. I couldn't stomach it. It's my twin, 30 years old. I'm like, God, what in the world is going? Like, if there was anything that rocked me, this rocked me. I had a choice. I could start complaining or I could confront it. So this is what I did. I spoke to the little strength I had because, you know, when real life happens, it's just like your whole body just leaves you. So I said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. I had to exalt a name that was stronger than my moment. In the middle of your storms, you've got to grab a hold of a name that is greater than your storm. Jesus himself dealt with faith to faith. You don't believe me? Let me get you to the end of his life. Jesus on the cross is at a place of his life where he's walked this thing out with God, with the Father, with himself. He's on the cross. He's in between two crooked people, one who claims to love God, the other one who's just like, it is what it is, right? And Jesus says something like, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? That sounds like a person who is starting to doubt who they are. Why have you left me? But see, Jesus himself needed some help. So this is what the Father does. He says, on this cross, while you're bearing every sin, I'm going to remind you of who you are. So he uses this guy over here and he says, hey, I know you. You're the Son of God. Will you remember me? In your kingdom, I want to be there. And Jesus had to look at that man with all the strength he had. And he says, oh my God, I almost forgot what I was doing and why I'm on this cross. See, God used the man who was filled with sin to remind Jesus of who he was. And in that moment, Jesus's faith increased right there on the cross to finish. And Jesus and the Father could speak over him, "It is finished." Why? Because Jesus got to the level of faith that pleased God. It is impossible to please the Father unless you have faith. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but God wants to move you out of complacent faith into thriving faith. He wants you to stop looking at storms and begin to speak to storms. He wants you to stop entertaining demons and begin to cast demons out. He wants you to thrive in your life. See, I'm talking and some of you are just staring, but this is the moment where you should be connecting your faith. See, I don't want to be a person that gets to the end of my life and say, "God, what did you do through me? Why didn't I walk this thing out? Why didn't I talk? Why didn't I try to heal the sick? Why didn't I try to raise the dead? Why didn't I try to speak to diabetes and declare that it would leave? Why didn't I try to go out and save FSU? Why didn't I try to go to FAMU and tell any and everybody about Jesus?" See, I've got a 3-year-old. I've got a 1-year-old following me that is looking for an example, which means our faith cannot stay where it is. It has to go. Tell somebody, get your faith up. We're moving out of one place of faith to another place of faith. See, the world is looking for a people that will surrender their lives to Jesus. They're not asking if you know the word. They're asking if the people that know the word will carry the word out. They're asking, who has the spirit? Who has the power? Who is the difference? What makes you different than anything else? Baby, I'll tell you what makes me different is that I'm walking in the authority of Jesus Christ, and when I speak it, something moves. When I think it, I become it. Because I become it, something has to change, something has to shift. Get your faith up. Get your faith up. See, yeah. See, I didn't get it until I had kids. I didn't get it. I've lost my brother almost four times now. I've gotten the phone call. Hey, it's a code blue. He's not gonna make it. And I just in that moment, I'm like, no. I've already got the report. The report of the Lord was that he would live and not die. So by faith, was I feeling it? No, I wasn't feeling it. In the car, I pulled the car over and I said, "In the name of the Father who sent me, I send this word." Because see, the centurion man understood it. See, Jairus had a problem. Jairus needed Jesus to come to his house. "Hey, my daughter's dying. I need you to get to the house. Do something about it." See, here's the real thing. Jairus didn't need Jesus to get to the house. What Jairus was really saying, that's what he was saying. See, I need you, Jesus, to deal with my fear. I don't have the faith for it. I need you to get to the house. But the centurion man says this, "Hey, I don't need you to come to the house. Just send your word. I'm a man of authority. I'm a man under authority. I know how this works. I tell this one, do this. I tell that one, go, he goes. I tell this one, say this, and he says it." See, some of you have been asking God to come and show up in your situation, and God's saying, "You are the word. You have the word. All you've got to do is send it." We're moving from staggering faith, complacent faith, to thriving faith. This city of Tallahassee will not experience God unless there are people who move in faith. I wish I could tell you it was your prayer life alone. I wish I could tell you it was your fasting alone. I wish I could tell you it was your articulate vocabulary, your exemplary vocabulary that moves God. There's only one thing that moves God, and it is faith. It is faith, baby. It is faith. And then watch this. I'm going to end it with this. There's a level of faith that does something for God. There's a faith that annoys God, and then there's a faith that amazes God. The centurion says this. He says, hey, I don't need you to come to my house. All I need you to do is send your word. Jesus looks at all of the people, and he says, "I haven't found this level of faith in all of Israel." There's a level of faith that amazes God. See, when I started my walk with Jesus, I was like, "God, use me. Use me for your glory. Use me to shake nations. Use me. I mean, this man saw it. I would pray prayers like that. Pray, use me, God. I want to shake nations for you. I want to heal the sick on your behalf. Then I got to a part of my life where I'm like, I'm not even sure if I want to continue this walk with God. This is why you have a church, because see, a church helps iron sharpen iron. You can come into this house and be vulnerable. See, this isn't the house of perfection. This is the house of imperfect people who need Holy Ghost faith doses. Can I call it just like that? See, I need you. I need your faith. See, one moment I'm weak, and then you come in with strong faith, and we begin to rub, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the level of faith I need to be at. I forgot. And see, he uses us to encourage each other. This is why you show up to go to church. I like the name. I'm glad we changed it. I like go to church. I love it. We go to church not to be perfect, but we're imperfect people who need the perfect one. I just want to talk to you just for a few minutes right where you are. I'm not going to ask you to come to this altar. But if you are a person in your walk with Christ, storms have hit, life has happened, and you need to get your faith from one level to the next level, I want to connect with you. I want to connect my faith with yours. I want brothers and sisters to be honest enough to say, my faith has been weak. My faith has been stagnant. My faith has been complacent, but I can't stay here. If that's you, just slip up your hands. I've got to get my faith to the next level. I've got to come out of where I am. I've got to move. I've got to move my faith. I cannot stay in a place where I'm seeing no breakthrough. I've got to move out of a place where it's just low and depressing. And I feel like I can't get to the other side of the sunshine. I've got to come out of this place. If that's you, just slip up your hands. I want to pray with you. I want to believe. Because in this walk with Jesus Christ, the only way to end this walk with Jesus is by faith. And if you want to take another step and come to this altar, you can come to this altar and I'll pray with you. Father, I'm asking that the people with their hands up in this moment, that their faith would be increased. That their faith would be increased. That we would no longer depend on sight, but we would depend on the one who gives us life, the source of faith. Jesus, come and do what only you could do. God, come and do what only you could do in this moment here in Tallahassee, here at Go to Church. Father, we're asking you now to strengthen the souls that are weak, strengthen the hearts that have been broken, strengthen those that are in need, strengthen those who have come to their place in their walk with God, and it seems like they have found themselves in a place of complacency. Move us by the Spirit of God. Move us by your power. Move us by the only one who knows us, and that's the one who created us. Move our faith, move our strength back to where it belongs. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray. Come on. I declare breakthrough. I declare breakthrough. I declare a faith that shifts things, a faith that moves things, a faith that can cause those things that be not as though they are. I declare that the impossible would be made possible because we serve an awesome God. We declare our faith is moving from complacency to thriving, from complacency to thriving. Yeah. We're moving, we're moving, we're moving, we're moving from faith to faith, from faith to faith. From faith to faith, we're moving from faith to faith. We can't stay here, we can't stay here, we can't stay here. Our city needs us, our city needs us, our children needs us. Oh, come on, 30 more seconds. Begin to push, 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 push. Move us, Jesus, move us, Jesus. We repent for having complacent faith. We repent for letting life happen. We repent for letting the world stand on top of us. positioning ourselves back on top, back on top, back on top.
Father, all of heaven rose your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven rose your name. Sing louder. Let these blazing up with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth.
Come on, sing that out with us. Come on, sing Spirit Breaker.
Spirit breaker,